This podcast is brought to you by Kickapoo Joy Juice and MacWeldon.com.
Oh, boy.
The greatest drinks and the greatest clothes. And by the end of this podcast, you'll be the greatest human.
Mm. Like us.
That's right.
Optimized.
We are the best. We are the ideal. You may not like it, but this is your. These are what the ideal male human bodies look like.
Take it all in.
You may you may not like it, but
reserve your laughter.
Stop.
Over there, we have hyenas over here.
Yeah. Peanut gallery.
Imperfect cell over there. He doesn't know what he's looking at, but we know.
No, the truth is he's perfect, too. In fact, we all are.
No.
That's true.
Right. Oh.
Let's get it started.
We started
already
it. We already started.
Sup, everybody? You're here with the Mega 64 boys.
Yep.
Oh, ha! Sunday night.
We were,
I was
peak
so
performance in
fucking hungry.
It's MacWeldon.com. Though.
I had to go get some food. Oh, are we doing sponsorships right now?
Just,
I'm not going to say where I got this food. Okay, good. I had to run to Starbucks real quick. I'm sorry. I was so fucking hungry.
I've been there.
Our arch nemesis, cute, funny guy.
Oh, he got you.
Was
you
no. Was all right. There? So the reason I'm late, there was one car in front of me, and as I pulled up, I thought I have 10 minutes before the podcast. I can get a coffee and a sandwich. The car in front of me didn't fucking move, so I rolled down my window, and I'm like sticking my head out, getting ready to like yell, like, "Hey, get out of the fucking way! There's a podcast about to start." And it's him. I could hear him like flirting with the girl in there.
Oh,
we could do it any way you want it. You want this kind of milk? You want that kind of milk? I could do a twizzle or I could stir it however
He's
you want.
He's going to twizzle your tizzles.
Oh,
it's the Oakley Dunkley
like,
do. What can I do for you guys?
At what point? Oh, okay, podcast question of the week. Fuck. At what point is it okay to just lay on your horn in a drive through? Can you honk the order in front of you?
That's a dangerous move though. Cause
yeah, because then they're gonna take a
food.
Shit in my
coffee.
Yeah,
food.
Put a roach in there.
They're gonna put semen in my chorizo breakfast sandwich.
I wouldn't put it past this guy.
You never had a semen chorizo sandwich?
I wouldn't know if I did.
You wouldn't.
I have theme song.
But
Welcome. Podcast 304.
That's right.
That's
you finally got it right.
We passed 420.
Are we in the 300s? We're in the 400s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
429.
Oh, my gosh.
We're approaching 500.
Well, damn.
Can you think about 500 episodes? Actually, that's about 2 years away if we do one a week. So we're not really approaching 500.
No. I mean, but that is
Iron
the next goal.
Statement.
Slowly but surely, guys.
We got to do something crazy for podcast 500. Like,
yeah.
400 was good. 300 is all right. 500 has got to be the game ender. Well,
we almost got 500,000 subscribers.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a goal. So 500,000 is the goal.
Yeah.
A million
and 500
is the
goal.
500 by 500.
Don't get it wrong. We're going for a million subscribers.
Well, I like to set.
We're well on our way.
When I put a goal up, put a little.
Garrett's going to go ahead and set his own goals.
Garrett plays football and goes for the other team's 10-yard line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to put a foothold in.
One ladder rung at a time.
Yeah.
Never the top. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to work it out. We're going to do the math. But the numbers have spoken. I've spit all over myself.
That's good. That wasn't close.
Cut that footage.
You get
out.
That in HD?
No, I'm going to definitely cut it all out.
Cut that footage. So, mosaic me. Just the rest of the podcast in case I do it again. Anyway, I'm Mosaic now. You don't even know who I am. This is the disembodied voice telling you that this is the Mega 64 podcast. The number one podcast by the numbers.
We should place a $500 wager. Some sort of competition for podcast 500. $500 grand prize for a video game contest between the four of us. Yeah. And the game is Smash Brothers.
Oh, wait, well, no.
Weird.
That's
why is that? I really got a shot
this?
On that
it's a popular
one.
Game.
Your idea here?
Lots of people play Smash Brothers. That's a tournament game. Any tournament game will do. I just named the first one that came to mind.
Huh.
Any tournament game will do.
All right. Hey,
Parappa the Rapper. Here we go.
This is a hot Sunday night. You are here with the Mega 64 boys. Welcome, everybody. It's good to be back here in San Diego, in the warehouse. We were away all week, traveling up and down the West Coast. We were at San Francisco.
Yes.
For GDC. How many GDCs have we done?
11.
Oh, shit.
You're quick on that number.
I thought about it earlier.
Oh, okay. 11. So over
is
a decade.
Is it 11 or technically 12?
Well, we started 2006. So what would that be?
So that'd make this 12, right?
Well, I think this might be the 12th
one. We completed it, so maybe that would be the 12th one.
Shit.
Maybe.
Over a decade of going to GDC. And it hasn't changed. Wow. Stagnant. Stagnant show.
You didn't spice it up while you were there?
Oh, shit. We're in charge of the entertainment. Yeah. All right, I take it back.
Oh, no.
GDC is at the peak of its entertainment value.
Topping itself every year.
Yeah, truly. Well, this year topped last year. For sure.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For sure.
Last year, so just to give a heads up, when we go to GDC, we get the that's when most of the video game industry is there.
Yeah.
So that's when we take the opportunity to, if we're able to kind of work with certain guests, we try to arrange that. Last year was one where we were all set to do a big crazy one with a certain guest, and it went to hell. It went to, I'm not going to say who it was, but it became a post-apocalyptic nightmare. It was like nuclear fallout.
There'd be a lot of political fallout all over the place.
Yeah, there will be scrolls written by elders in the future that will let people know what to watch out for. Yeah, and you just look over the rim of the sky and see kind of for yourself who fucked up.
I understand. Cool. All right. I don't get it.
So, anyway.
So, last year, we got screwed. The pooch was screwed last year. We went to the award show. We didn't even have a big Grand Slam video to show to the thousands of colleagues there. It was very embarrassing. Mm. I remember our video played and the host came back from the video with like some snarky comment about the video. Yeah. Do you remember what it was?
I thought it was okay.
Well,
that was interesting. It was like such a fucking bite your fist and curl up moment. So this year, we came back guns blazing.
Yeah.
Kicked the fucking door open. Not only did we have one badass video.
No, don't bring that up.
We won't go into detail. But
no, we shouldn't.
Okay.
We had one badass.
Yeah, no,
you gotta tell us before the podcast if we're not talking about something.
Every year. But yeah, anyway. So let's talk about the one we released.
Okay. Go ahead, Derek.
Okay.
We had two. Fuck you, I'll say it. We had two badass videos. Sorry, but we did put one online because you've already seen it. Famitsu Uedo's Madden 2018. Let's talk about the one we released.
Yeah. A lot of cameos in that video. Your dog?
My dog made it. My dog.
I mean, I only count like the, like those are my favorite cameos.
My dog made the video. Big day. Big day for my dog. that video, I thought, we've been filming it for like a month now. Just, you know, here and there. I loved it because I got to play football. So, dream come true for this guy. Fucking great. I gotta wear football gear and get new cleats.
There were shots that looked like you guys were inside of a stadium. Did you just run into like behind the scenes areas real quick and then get the shot?
I don't know if I should confirm or deny that I may have gone places accidentally.
You were lost.
I was lost looking for help and I couldn't find any. But then the shot happened to be filmed anyway.
And you were there with the camera to when he was lost.
Yeah.
Happened to work out?
Yes. So, do you have anything to say about this video, guys? He's kind of sitting here.
Yeah, so Last Guardian came out this year. Huge game. And obviously, we're all big fans of Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. So we had a chance to make a video with Fumita Ueda, creator of those games. And I don't know if he's ever played John Madden football, but we assume that he would be happy with it. And I think the video turned out good. What's funny is in making this video, we've never had to show the video to the person beforehand when we were working on it.
Yeah. Because you shot all of Sean's stuff.
Yeah,
the and video. Nicole and the yeah, Steelers.
We had the whole video ready, and then we just needed to drop him in at the very end, which we've done in the past.
Yeah.
We did that with...
But sometimes you actually have to get we a did lot that of the
with,
shots.
We've actually done that with like so many people. We did it with Yu Suzuki of Shenmue, and we did it with Ken Kutaragi.
Why this time did he get to see the video before?
Because he asked. Yeah. Nobody had ever done it before.
He showed up to do it, and Fumito and his entire entourage showed up. They only had a limited amount of time. I mean, very, very limited. And they all come in, and they said, so this is introducing something you've already made.
They're smart enough to cover their ass.
Yes, and they were like, good, can we sit down and watch it? Oh, man.
But this was all in Japanese, so it's five guys who speak Japanese and one translator, so they speak and they speak and they speak, and then he turns and he says all that. They're talking for five minutes, and then he's like, can we see the video? And then we're like, maybe. I mean, we didn't talk about that beforehand, but in my mind, I'm thinking like, what's the point of showing you the video now, the day before it's due?
Yeah. All you Nothing can, will be changed.
You could either say, this is great, or you could say, don't show this.
Or we're not going to do
it.
Yeah, right. So really, we're just putting our necks out to be cut off the day before the video is
possible. Because I already sent them everything that was going to be in it. I mean, it wasn't like we did some surprise thing like, they don't know what's going to be about football. There's no...
they've gotten a rundown on the
Yeah, show. Yeah. We ran it down with them and all that stuff. And so so I didn't think necessarily there'd be anything too rough in it. But then you start to doubt because it's like I'm sitting down and watching it with them. And at the end, it makes a joke about this game taking 10 years to make. Do they all know that joke is in there? You know, it turns into like...
Is that going to translate as insulting?
Yeah, right. I don't really know. And also, like, there's so many football gags that are.
They know who Roger Goodell is?
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also,
you know?
All the subtitles are in English. The language is made up, so they can't read what we're saying on the screen, and no one's translating it to them.
I didn't even think about that.
They're just watching. They have no idea what they're seeing.
Maybe it's insulting.
People talking in gibberish language. Exactly.
And then my dog's in there with wings on. I don't know. It's like, I don't.
they did laugh really hard.
They're like that. Yeah. But
animals are cute, man.
But man, that was a pretty stressful 20 minutes.
Well, 5 minutes, because we showed them that video, and then they just watched
it.
Felt like 20. And then they kind of talked about it in Japanese again. And the translator's like, all right, you could show the video. But then he added this weird note, and he's like,
caveat,
buy a lottery ticket tonight. You lucked out.
Yeah.
He kind of implied, like, they don't approve anything, but they approve this video.
So I think, I think they like the video. After the award show, I will say that he came to our table and like shook our hand and said thank you for like making it, and like he was like super nice and like it was great.
I saw them get their cell phones out and record the video.
Awesome.
When it was playing on TV.
Oh, cool.
That team thanked you guys in their acceptance speeches like in previous years,
2006.
Right?
Yeah, like 11 years ago.
Not like thanked Mega 64, but they just said like we liked the video because of the
they said thank you.
Shadow of the Colossus?
Ico.
The Ico.
And I honestly think that's why they asked us to come back the following year, because that year our videos went over okay. The first one was weird.
The later ones did.
They went okay. But like, I feel like that kind of made it so they were okay with inviting us the next following year where we filmed with Miyamoto.
Yeah.
And that team likes the previous videos about their game, so they know you're going to do it
justice. Yeah, they were like talking about Shadow Colossus and stuff
like
that. That's great. Yeah, so.
No, it was cool. I liked how it incorporated all three of the things from the previous titles. And
yeah, I thought that video
just
was
fit all of the NFL trope.
A lot of people really like that. You know, I think the video is good, but I'm not a huge Madden fan, and I played Ico, but I never played Shadow of the Colossus or Last Guardian. So I think maybe the sentiment of the video was lost on me because the video is a lot more successful than I expected it to be. I thought people would be like, ah, that's funny, but people were like, wow, this is a fucking great idea.
See, and I was coming from my perspective, it's one of my favorite videos we've ever done. Like it, to me, those games are so like valuable to me. And one, to just be able to film with the guy who made them was incredible. But I think that we managed to fit in every sort of trope of those games. At the same time, blending in football, but I don't think it went too far in one direction. Like, I was really happy with the amount of each.
Yeah, well, we were retweeted by several sports blogs.
That was my favorite part.
No shit. Cool.
Who's the biggest blog that retweeted us?
I think SB Nation. And they have like
ESPN awards?
SB.
Oh, I thought you said SBs, like SB Nation.
No.
The SB Awards, that's an ESPN award, right?
Yes, it is. But they had like 400,000 subscribers, and they were retweeting us saying like, we made fun of Roger Goodell, which people liked a lot.
Oh, nice.
So.
Oh.
Hey, what's up, SB Nation? Thanks for retweeting us. We should retweet you because we have 400,001 subscribers. Just want to point that out. That's cool.
I don't play any of the Madden games either, and I like making fun of those type of games. Hmm. So that's why, like, when Todd and Aaron rip on Madden, the joke is that it's always just like these dude bros want that to be.
Is Madden still like going?
I don't hear about it anymore.
People, the past couple of years have been real, like, I haven't been connected to that.
But there are people that don't play any other game. Like, they don't buy other games for their consoles. They just get a Madden game every year.
And a lot of international fans I saw were commenting. I guess there was nothing to say other than football is so irrelevant outside of America that that's a lot funny. Of people were just like, yeah, okay, a football game. Maybe.
But I think that's great, and that's why it's so great that he's doing this video, because like football is – in Japan, is football anything? Do they give a shit about – I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, but I feel like for him to say that's his beloved franchise is fucking football.
Yeah, yeah.
Like even if it's soccer, like someone could kind of be like, oh, all right, maybe Madden football? Like, I don't know.
I'm trying to think. We filmed it on a football field that we kept having to get out of because the school would get out of
at yeah, practice
2:30 every day and take over the field for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah.
So we were battling with that. And do you want to tell them about your arch nemesis, Sean, the security guard who you tried to sweet talk?
Whoa.
Sean invented a new tactic for handling security.
I think it's smart.
Let me set you up on this
one. Okay.
Sean
tries to fuck him.
He invented a new tactic for handling security guards. he pretends like... this is what I'll say. I'll explain with a metaphor. Imagine if a guy went into a bank with a gun to rob the bank, and when the police showed up, he said, "Oh, I'm glad you're here. There's a bank robber inside." This is Sean's new style of handling security.
Here's what happened. We were trying to film a drone shot. Yeah. We literally had two propeller blades put on it, and then security vroom, shows up, and it's like, "Oh man, we were only here for like 30 seconds." And it's, you guys can't film here. You can't do drones especially. You can't do anything. So it's like, ah, fuck. All right. But we have this new camera has really good stabilization in it. So we could film you from the car and just running. And, you know, you're just running and we can film you and it doesn't look good. So we did that. And then as we were leaving, we saw a couple things like, oh, just go film from the car again. Like, no big deal. And then we happened to see that there was a door open.
Shots in the video.
A door open, and
that's what I was talking about.
It's a kind of rampway down to the field of this particular stadium.
You can see green grass.
And I thought, well, give me a camera and I'll try to film something. So I walked down there, and the whole time I'm going, hello, security? I'm looking for security. I need some help. Excuse me, hello? Hello? And then as I'm filming, like, as I'm saying this, and then I get the shot that I need, and I'm running back. I know they are filming me running back that was actually using the video. And, but right as I get to the top, I see security pull up again, and my thought was, oh, this is calling for the screen. I'm like, oh, good, I was looking for you. I have a question. What would it take for us to be able to film down that field? And then he looks at me and goes, you gotta go.
Classic response, you guys gotta go.
So we left.
He doesn't want any more tomfoolery.
But we realized that was the new cool technique to use, and I recommend everyone out there use it as well, is if you're doing something bad, just be asking for the police or security as you do it. So Sean is getting all the shots we need, but he's going, security, excuse me, security, I really need to find you. Hello, security, are you here? Oh, good, thank God you're here. Thank God you answered.
Anyway. He's not putting in the context properly of we were asked to leave and he snuck into the open stadium to get down to the field.
Yeah.
And as security rolls up to kick him out, he's acting like, oh, I'm so glad. I've been looking for you
guys.
Thank
God you showed up.
I'm walking around here looking for security.
Oh, so wait.
I was worried you guys wouldn't show up.
Like with the whistling, Sean just like pissed him off. By acting that way.
Honestly, I think the guy was so ready to be pissed off, but Sean confused him.
Oh, hey, yeah, I want to ask because you a fucking made-up question.
Yeah, the guy rolls up, and I'm sure in his mind, he's like, I already told you to fucking leave, and now you're sneaking into the state.
Asking
like,
me
what
bullshit.
Are you doing here? But immediately, he's like, oh, I've been looking for you. What would it take?
You smart-ass
to get it? And the guy is just like... You gotta go. It was like
that was exactly how he said it. You gotta go.
You know, he's just like, I don't know what else to say.
He wanted to bend in half.
Leave.
The best part is I was still recording, so I have the audio of him saying, "You gotta go." So
yeah, you're
it somewhere.
You're
that'll
in football
definitely be behind the scenes.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
You're in full
like,
on helmet and pads, right?
Yeah.
If you're a burglar, Jesus. Right, and you're like going through somebody's house, and the owner shows up, like turns all the lights on, it's like, oh,
don't
do you
worry.
Own this house?
Oh, thank God!
I was fucking looking for you. Did you know the front door was open? I was wondering, would you allow me to take any of
Slide.
These things?
I know you finished The Sopranos. There's
no, I haven't finished it.
You haven't finished
season
it?
Season 6.
Well, whatever. I know you've seen this.
Yeah.
At least there's one episode where basically Pauly does that. When
he's
at the old woman's house. Oh, thank God you're here.
Oh,
yeah.
What do you mean? No, don't look at me cross
are
like
you,
that.
Are you robbing me? No. I'm just so
How
glad to
you
see
ever?
You. I'm making sure everything's here.
Yeah. Oh, he tries to talk his way out of it, and it is not working.
Well, Sean style.
Well, again, we got the shot. So
yeah.
We got the shot, and I thought he was going to be down there. I legitimately did. I was going to ask him that question, but I just
he was waiting for you at the exit.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, so that was filming that video. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
We we edited that video in the hotel room as we always do.
The body of it was edited before, but the right. Put it all together. Yeah.
Do you have
to
do any classic editing at GDC tricks, like use the closet for a green screen? Or this was all just kind of the interview shots?
No, that was all shot in the in the hotel. No green screen necessary. We did have a pile of shitty DVDs that we were watching all night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we will have a movie discussion later on in the program. So stay tuned for that.
Interesting.
We watched I feel like spiritual successors to Buttercreamers.
Yeah.
Buttercreamer
films
in
the same
past.
Universe for sure. They didn't say it, but I could feel it.
Lots of shit.
Yep. Yeah.
Lots of cool shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
cover that in a minute.
That's all there is to say about the video. It's doing really well. Like I said,
I'm really happy, and like I said, just to get to work with them was awesome because they Ueda is like near Kojima to me, like in terms of like a game developer that has made a universe that is interesting and whatever.
Oh, like, and Ueda looks like he's like 28 years old.
He does.
I'm pretty sure that guy's like approaching 50. So.
He looks younger than all of us.
Dude,
yeah. He looks younger than all of us.
The games are rare. He gets to really take his time. He's made, what, 3, 4 now?
That's the fountain of youth. Being a game designer is the fountain of youth.
It's that low stress life.
I'm sure he has a low
stress. Being a game designer is low stress.
Well, he gets to take his time, man. I mean, really. Every 10 years.
I don't know what the secret is, but he's looking
damn
good. Fly.
Real good.
Hot.
Damn.
Still fly.
Sexy.
Make that the theme song this week. Still fly.
I don't know who sings that, but sure, you got it.
The
Birdman?
Okay.
It's the Big Timers. You got to listen to that song.
Okay.
I think that song would change your life.
Good.
Yeah.
I was looking for something to do it.
What's it about?
It's about how no matter what's wrong in your life, you're still awesome.
Oh, fuck.
Whether you're broke
That's
or
a posy attitude.
You
I
got
like
problems,
that.
You know, no matter what, you're still fly.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what you sing if it's going good. If things go bad, they go... What happened to that boy?
Yeah.
And that's about you.
That's murder.
Because you're gone.
Cautionary tale.
So don't suck.
6 feet under.
Be fly.
Small
don't
timers.
Suck.
Don't be a small timer. Okay. So, hey, we do have Mega 64 YouTube channel. We have an archive channel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You put up a new PPS this week. PPS
211. PPS went up.
So you're approaching PPS 300.
I'm almost there. Yeah. I've been doing it weekly now for like over 4 years.
That's crazy.
Do you feel... It's strange about that.
Yeah, because it wasn't intended to really... Well, it was intended to be a weekly thing I was going to dedicate myself to. And then we were going to kind of just see where it went. And it's gone in a really fun direction. I really like doing the show. But yeah, looking back, it's like, holy shit, it's been 4 years. It just feels like this does.
If
it feels like part of a...
4 years ago and tell yourself to do one thing differently that you've learned doing the PBS in 4 years, what would it be?
Oh, man. I think the show's changed so much over the 4 years. When I find something new, the show changes to
really?
Kind of reflect that.
Are there different eras of the PPS?
Yeah, there's eras of like trying to run on really underperforming equipment and having to share equipment with, you know, there's a lot of us here at times. And I used to get so fucking anal about, like, who touched the computer? The settings moved. What? Why is... Who was using this last? Was Eric doing the go-home show here? Ridiculous. Fuck. Maybe I wouldn't be so anal next time around, you know?
I never experienced that.
I learned, like, I gotta get here.
You weren't here.
I gotta get here, like, an hour early. Yeah, true. Derek, you don't know how I could be.
Wednesday night, you're at home.
That's true.
But yeah, I've just learned, like, you got to get here an hour early. You got to go through all the fucking checklist from top to bottom. Live streaming in its own way is a fucking challenge just to get it to where the audio isn't horrible.
Yeah.
That aspect of it and getting to play with all the toys, like all the electronics that I have set up in there, like it's so fun. But yeah, looking back, like, I don't know how the hell.
What's the current era of the PPS? If you could put a name on it.
Dude, we're introducing some new characters that have been dropping into the PPS.
Shit.
Yeah, I know.
You guys are advanced.
I got this fucking.
You got Whack Pack?
Bitch ass half cousin named Twilight, who's been coming on and fucking my whole day up. No, I mean, right now, yeah, I'd say it's in the Twilight prank call era. We used to do a lot more prank calls. We're still... Raymond had, like, the fish pillow, you know? And that was kind of like where I did prank calls every week. Nice. It's hard to think of a new premise every week, and a lot of them fall flat. So now I pepper them in, and we've been going to a lot more bits with my cousin coming on.
Okay.
Shit like
damn.
That.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
PPS 211. It's on the Archive channel.
Yeah. We do retro.
The address for the Archive channel? I can't remember. Just Mega64?
YouTube.com/Mega64Archives.
Yeah. Oh, I need to grab one thing real quick.
Grab it.
Goodbye.
Last week,
He went to go get something to eat again. It's hungry. He'll be right back. It'll be totally fine.
I want to play this with you, Rocco. Mm-hmm. I got a PS2 game called Sopranos Road to Respect.
I was about to ask. I didn't see the show, but I was about to ask if you played that.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Amazon for like a dollar.
I got it for about $3 or $4. That was with shipping.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Rocco, I want to play with you on the PPS.
Yeah.
It's just great. All the voice acting.
I would love to. Absolutely.
It's that shitty type of PS2 game. Like, they're showing, like, nipples on the strippers on stage. Like, it is a weird... They curse way too much.
Yeah.
It's that era of PS2 games where, like, hey, we can get away with this. Let's push the envelope.
Yeah. And if I recall correctly, I think they got most of the cast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Gandolfini, I think, did his role.
I noticed a lot of Gandolfini's lines were recycled from episodes.
Yeah.
They would just use lines he said in the episode, like,
oh, okay.
In a rant, and I'd be like, I could tell that's from a different scene.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of original voiceover stuff, like, you're working for Vinny and Paulie and all the guys.
Yeah.
I want to keep playing that on the PPS.
Cool.
I like playing old stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, check out Garrett's PPS on the Archive channel. If you're not watching it live every Wednesday night at 7, you should watch it on our Archive channel.
Watch it live for unedited audio.
7 on the dot.
Yeah.
Tune in.
Never late.
On the dot.
True.
I was running late last week, so I kind of missed the conversation.
You were running late this week.
No, I was on time this week, and then I left.
And then he's running late again.
No, that if you're here and you leave, you're not running late.
It supersedes. If you're here and you leave, you're late.
Then what are you?
That's
unreliable.
That's not true.
Okay, Derek, if you're late, you're unreliable. Then what?
What are you then?
Derek,
I'm unreliable.
Okay,
I'm not late.
He calls it what it is.
I'm unreliably on time. I'm there, but don't depend on me to do anything. Because I might leave and go to Starbucks.
You have to stay there. He's going to go.
But I wasn't late.
Nobody said you had to stay. That's a good point.
Last week I was late, so I missed the discussion Patreon went out. The sunglasses that we released, people were getting them. So, you know, the secret was out, basically. It's a big secret around here until the fans get it. And I thought that was really cool. I didn't really have a chance to say anything about it. I had been hyping it up for weeks saying, oh, we got big stuff coming out. But, yeah, you feel good about that?
Dude,
I'm sure you talked about it.
So happy to see how enthused all the people that got them were.
Yeah.
That's rad.
Yeah.
People have been asking and making their own for years now.
It was almost like unofficial, like, Garrett brand glasses. For years, people just making their own. So, yeah, kind
That's
of
what
like
I'm all about. Give it out to the people.
Yeah. I thought they looked so cool. At first, I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, they look like Garrett's glasses, but is that going to work on everybody out there?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. I've seen them on like little kids. I've seen them on old people. It's
you know what?
I am so happy that it's not just whenever you go to convention, a lot of booths will just give you the standard, like, hey, we got cool glasses. We went out of our way to find a frame that, first of all, is the frames you use.
Yeah, yeah.
But is like unlike anything anybody else like gives away.
Was the first time you did that in Vegas?
Yeah, it was. When
I
we went
seeing
when
outside,
we went, really?
Remember we shot the terrorists?
Yeah, I remember seeing outside. All of a sudden you took a Sharpie shot. Like, what are you doing?
Out of context, that was great. Remember when we shot the terrorists?
Remember we went to Vegas and shot the terrorists?
Well, we're heroes. We are heroes. Yeah.
I remember you went in the store and bought them and
forgot
then went outside
them,
and then started cutting them right away. I'm like, what are you doing? And then, that was...
So I forgot them. I didn't bring any sunglasses on the trip. And then we were in Vegas and I was like, well, I'll just go to one of these $10 stands and buy a pair of...
Yeah.
Whatever. And someone I knew had been wearing these giant white, like, Gucci sunglasses.
Yeah.
And they were real. And they were like $700. And I thought it was so... I had a real chip on my shoulder for fashion, which is weird because my anti-fashion has become a fashion in itself.
Yeah, the glasses are now
the glasses are
produced.
Now mass produced and sold to.
Well, it's just,
you know,
how like Shepard Fairey artwork is like done as rebellion, and now it's like
adopted and
now it's sold and you know whatever. It's like shit happens.
Yeah. So the long and short story of this vicious cycle I'm in was I was making fun of this dude I know, and I bought these fake ass Chanel glasses, and then I wrote fake on the Chanel part to point out that they're not real.
Right. And now here we are.
And now, yeah, I've made like different versions of them, and I'm really happy everyone likes them.
It was dope. So the box just went out. You know, our Patreon reward box goes out quarterly, every 3 months. We do have a sweepstakes on our Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd like to announce the winners of it right now. So every 3 months, well, actually every month, we'll pull out a winner. But once the boxes go out, we'll announce who the winners are. Go to our Patreon to check out the rules for the sweepstakes. See how you can enter. No purchase necessary. Blah, blah, blah. Our winners, the three of them, are three lucky Patreon winners. David Skamehorn, Chris Peterson, Marcos Alvarez.
Oh, sausage fest.
Y'all won.
Y'all won. It is a sausage fest.
What's up
with that? Hey, ladies, come on. You just
start
supporting us,
start
okay?
Winning.
Look, we like to support you. You need to support us.
True.
It's about time we had some more women to support
us. Some more
us.
Female support. We're such feminists up here, yet where are the females when we need them?
That's all we talk about.
Time to change it up.
If we don't have more women supporting us by next month, I'm going to stop being a feminist.
You know what? I was with her, but was she with me?
Exactly. Mm. I'm going to be a masculist.
That's right. Hey, so those are our three winners.
A eunuch?
We're going to prepare special... prize boxes. Actually, Sean is really in charge of sending these out. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Wait on your shoulder.
Passing the buck on to you.
Hey, make these ones good. Like, spend time on them.
I had no idea. They're gonna be
what did we send out in the last ones?
I don't know.
We usually...
I don't remember.
You're asleep at the wheel.
We usually pick a prop from like a video that we filmed or something left over from an episode. Yeah. Something special.
I'll find some cool shit.
You will definitely get that.
We like to assume that if... And maybe this is the wrong assumption, but we like to assume that if you won this, you're a hardcore Mega 64 fan. So you're going to appreciate like a one-of-a-kind prop from maybe something obscure.
You'll recognize the Aunt Jemima bottle.
Yeah,
that
what's
was
funny, though, is like
video.
If you're just a random guy, like, yo, I just really like watching you guys play video games, and you signed up for the Patreon, you might not want... You know, the stoned penguin or...
Well, you're going to get it. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
So, David, Chris, Marcos, congratulations, guys. And congratulations. You're our lucky internet soldiers for this round, this time round.
Nice.
Hell yeah, it's core time.
So, we were at Game Developers Conference all week. Did anybody play any video games, see any cool video games this week?
Dude.
You know what?
No good games have come out in 2017 so far.
I'm hooked on
it
old
really
games.
It really sucks. Yep. Yeah, you go to the show floor was empty. No one made anything. No good games.
The show floor was all VR, I thought.
A lot of, yeah, mostly. So
much. There was a whole VR floor.
Yeah, well, there's also the show floor, which also was, I thought, felt like all VR. That's what I felt. Like, there's so much of it.
It's taken over.
Yeah.
Because, like, 2 years ago, that's what I thought. It was like, wow, everything's VR.
I mean, there were a couple things that weren't, but for the most part.
A big thing this year, though, was what they called Alt-Control GDC. That it was a special show floor.
Right.
And it was for games with alternate methods of controllers.
I have a little thing with that. It was really... It was cool and also really dorky at the same time.
It was all meant to be like... Huh. Yeah, there were some games that were like, sit in this cardboard box and put a strainer on your head.
Right.
Okay. But some of them were just... they had a game about... You're injured and you're crawling across the floor. And they made a little conveyor belt that you would actually rub... almost like a revolving carpet that you would go like that on and control it. Yeah.
I saw something people talking about. I think I saw a video kind of explaining Alt Control GDC at the award show, actually. And they talked about how, like, in the 80s, when console arcades really exploded, everything was an Alt Control game. Kind of, because there was no standardized control
set. Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
A lot of games used a joystick, and some games had buttons, but there were ball rollers.
Combinations of buttons.
All kinds of shit, yeah. And there was, you know, today we have joystick and, like, six buttons and kind of, like, fight pad controls for everything.
Yeah.
But back then, it was kind of like the Wild West.
Yeah, we hadn't honed it down.
They were experimenting, yeah. So this kind of event at GDC is kind of getting back to the roots of that, of, like, you know... Let go of what you think is a video game has to be or like the definitions that you've been raised with. And let's get back to just make anything into a game.
Yeah. So we checked out that little area and it was a lot of cool stuff. But Kevin and I went back specifically for one game in particular. They had one called Fear Sphere. And it was a...
Was it like a trash bag looking thing?
It looked like a giant trash bag.
Okay, I filmed that too.
Yeah. It was a black... In some form of enclosure. It was a plastic enclosure.
Right.
Basically, all it was a big black plastic bag that they kept inflated with air.
Yeah.
And you would crawl under it into it, and it would be airtight, pitch black inside. And what they did was they gave you a flashlight, a big flashlight. And actually what the flashlight was, it was this big unit. It was actually there was a projector inside.
Whoa.
And it was a motion-tracked projector that would project... the surroundings of a game onto the wall.
Where you
so you project it and, okay, I see a door. I go over there. Oh, there's a stairway over there.
Oh, weird.
Oh, okay, there's another hallway. Okay. You know, you'd only see where you were pointing it.
Holy shit.
So you're basically in a pitch black room with only that light to – only that narrow view to guide you to where to go, and something's coming after you. So someone on the outside has a map,
right,
and they're talking through a microphone. Okay, you need to go down that hall. That's the hallway. No, your other left. Yeah, go down that hallway. Okay, there's a stairway there. You have to go up the stairway, you know, trying to get you
out
of
it.
And Kevin was the one that actually went in the thing. So how would you rank that?
No surprise there.
Yeah, yeah, go figure. Kevin wanted to go inside.
He loves that
terrifying
shit.
I love
thing.
How you want to do that?
I love like scary the
fear
stuff.
Sphere.
Yeah.
But I want to be alone when I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And the whole game was talking to somebody and getting directed, and it was too
not
hard.
Scary.
I want to be alone in a scary place, and I kept having to talk to somebody.
Oh, damn it.
Gotcha.
But the technology was really, really cool. Like, I don't know how that would translate into, like, home use or anything, but I thought what they made was awesome.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cool technology. It was just interesting to see that. So anyway, so that was cool.
Do you remember, like, the old Sega arcade games, like Brave Firefighter, where it was all about the...
Oh,
control scheme?
Yeah. Sure. Samba de Amigo.
And like all the Bimani wave of like dance games, DDR, and...
that was kind of the last big one, or, you know...
Taiko Drum Master.
Have you seen Guitar Hero in like VR? What is that?
Yeah, I have...
Rock Band VR.
Rock Band VR.
Yeah.
I have seen people playing it.
It's only for Oculus now, though.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I wish that would...
Here's my theories. Anything to not learn how to be an actual rock star. At what
point... You just want that elation.
At what
being on stage?
the next iteration is they're just going to get sex dolls to be groupies to go backstage with you to have sex. And then the rock star fantasy is complete.
Well,
and you don't need to learn to play the music.
The back of the guitar could have a hole.
They did Dead or Alive Extreme 3 VR. You don't need the whole all the girlfriend bullshit.
Is that in the US yet?
So,
No, none of it's
in the US, but we're waiting on the Asian version.
Having a sit-in
but
at Walmart.
That later. Eliminated all the dating bullshit you have to do. And so now you don't have to practice an instrument. You are a rock star. The end. Mm. So I think it's a good thing.
Skip to the
I think it's a good
line.
Thing. Great things ahead. But yeah, that was there. By the way, the trailer, hey, shout out. I love the guys on Harmonix. I really do. Rock Band, one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
The trailer for Rock Band VR looks like something from my favorites on YouTube.
So, wow, is that a good
now,
thing?
Now, favorite? Hey, now, I just said favorite. That's a compliment. But some people know what else is in my favorite. So, yeah, you know, you take it. That for what it's
worth.
Wow. What it is.
Hey, you know what I noticed about GDC this year? I did not – every bathroom that I found was gender neutral, like every single one.
Oh, yeah. Sean discovered something big.
I did.
For the future of humanity.
And I don't care. I mean, whatever. Like, I don't care. So I'm at a urinal peeing, and then two girls come out of, like, different stalls, and they're, like, talking, doing their makeup in the mirror, which was – I never had that happen to me, so it was a little weird.
I talked about it at TitanCon. Yeah, it happened to me.
It was just like, oh, okay.
First time for everything.
I knew what I was walking into. But something happened in there that I never thought about.
This is big.
And I think it is big. And it will change
nervous.
The world.
I'm getting nervous.
No. Don't get nervous.
Oh, shit. Hey, turn your recording
out. Did they hear
devices
you shit?
No.
Off. This is off the record.
This is what I've noticed, and I never considered it. Every fucking guy in there, everyone, washed their hands.
Best behavior.
And I guarantee you,
we're on our best
behavior. They would have not done that.
Yep.
If there weren't girls present.
That and now think about it. Butterfly effect. Health worldwide will get better.
Now, I don't know. I've never been in a women's bathroom before. I don't know if they wash their hands or not. I just assume they do because I feel like men are gross. But maybe they don't. But
I don't know.
I'm just saying, I know that for a fact, when I'm in a men's bathroom, 95% of guys don't wash their hands and everyone did.
But now they will. So, health everywhere. No more H1N1 or H1Z1 or whatever.
Maybe more better place.
Hold on. I'm conservative. I'm going to think of a reason why this is a problem.
Okay, He's allowed.
Just give me a second. Okay. Look, it's our goddamn right to be as dirty as we want.
Filthy.
And I don't want to have to feel the pressure to wash my hands.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, we try to see both sides.
I fell somewhere in between. At Tayo, I talked about being in the bathroom stall, hearing very young girls talking about their cosplay as they were putting stuff on in the mirror.
You could hear how young they were?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, like a young person's voice versus like, I don't know. It made me uncomfortable that now I'm in the bathroom with two underage girls. So I got the fuck over to the sink, washed my hands as fast and maybe not as thorough as I could have.
But you did wash.
And I was like, I'm out. Like, late. Like, I just wanted to get the fuck. When I heard them in there, I was like, well, we're done.
I love that is like your kryptonite.
Ooh. Yeah. That's, scary.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That's scary. I've always grown up knowing like. Boys don't go in the girls' room, and girls don't go in the boys' room.
You're old school.
I'm old school.
You're fucking. Guess what? You're fucking old.
But hey,
get ready to fucking die.
That's fine, but I might not wash my hands as well as I should because I'm ready to get the.
There it is. That's the perfect.
That's why you fail me now.
That's the perfect reason I was looking for. Now we may not wash our hands.
So I don't know
as much as we may have.
Seems a little. Even,
you know,
50-50.
Okay. Whatever. I don't even understand what he's saying because I am young. I'm young. I'm hot. I love Vine and I piss everywhere. All right.
I piss where I please.
Real quick. We got more video game stuff to talk about. We should do sponsors real quick.
Yeah. Okay. All
right. Let's get that point. So real quick, we want to thank our sponsors.
Absolutely.
Mac Weldon, the folks at Mac Weldon, they kept us clothed. Guess what?
Ooh, yeah.
How many? I went to GDC.
Yeah.
I was there a week.
Wow.
How many pairs of underwear did I bring?
I hope you brought
seven.
How many pairs did I bring?
Seven pairs.
Seven, just in case.
You fucking didn't.
Gross. No, you did. Did you really?
How great did I smell?
You know what?
I wasn't around the last day.
Exactly.
The first time I didn't notice.
Oh, it's the antimicrobial.
Because
I usually smell his underwear by the end of GDC.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
And this year,
you know,
nothing.
Yeah,
you know how he does that.
He took a whiff and went, ah, springtime.
I went, something's different this year.
Obviously, I'm joking. I took 7 pairs of Mack Weldon underwear.
You could have
done that. Mack Weldon makes great inner and outer wear, the most stylish, the most comfortable. Listen, I got my stuff from them. Are those from them?
Whoa, nice. Oh, damn.
They have pattern?
Look how sexy those are.
I'm wearing their underwear right now. Comfy, I'll show you.
Can we see those?
Yeah, can we see them? That'll be the finale.
Okay, all right.
But anyway, fits amazing, feels good, looks good. If you want to order from them yourself, go to MackWeldon.com, use the offer code MEGA64, and you're going to get a nice discount. Oh. That's right. We are VIPs with the Mack Weldon crew, and they're going to pat you on the back and on the butt with their great clothes. So check it out, MackWeldon.com. Also want to thank our sponsor, Kickapoo Joy Juice, the greatest drink known to man. They're still out there. They're still thriving. They need to restock us. We don't have
to. Dude, we got to get drink. I'm thirsty for the juice.
Damn. Exactly. Go to drinkkickapoo.com and get a case of Kickapoo for yourself. And you can get it in any one of their amazing flavors. You can also go on Amazon and order a case for yourself. Or follow at Drink Kickapoo on Twitter, and you'll get updates on where that drink is any given moment. They will update you so thoroughly, there won't be ever again. You'll never have any problem or ever where there never be. So check it out for yourself. Mm-hmm. Go there and subscribe.
You know,
and drink
when
away.
I do these plugs, y'all talk shit on stupid shit. I say, ain't that easy?
When I do the plugs, y'all always say I did a great job.
All right, let's let Sean do the next one.
Sean's got the next one. Go for it, Sean.
Where are we at? Twitch? Okay. We did that one already?
All right, go everybody watching this on Twitch. Jesus. If you watch us live on Twitch every week, go ahead and hit the subscribe button that's on there. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a free subscription.
Let us tell you why.
If you get a free subscription every month through Amazon Prime.
Let me take over. March just started. Those fucking rat fucks at Amazon messing with you. They're going into your subscriptions.
Yep.
They're pulling all the strings. Like, you need their help to unsubscribe to us. You need to resubscribe. It's free.
Yep.
You get all the emojis. You get totally upgraded to the best Twitch experience for the Mega 64 podcast.
The best.
Completely free of charge if you have Amazon Prime, do yourself a favor, sign up. I just like to remind people that it ends every month.
I know. It's
important. I didn't realize that just happened again. So
it's the beginning of the month. Everybody out there watching probably forgot.
And,
we got you.
So get on that if you haven't. And also, shop.mega64.com is a great place to get merchandise if you want to support the show, but more importantly, get some great stuff for yourself. By the way, those who pre-ordered in the past, some people pre-ordered, we had simulated space shirts, which were a new design, and experiment sweatshirts. Those have been shipping. So if you pre-ordered them, you're going to get a nice present. Also, the prize included is straight from the set of one of our videos. So directly from there to you. So you're getting a special treat. We always like to take care of the people who pre-order.
Sure.
So we definitely did that. But those, hopefully, simulated space shirts, for those who didn't pre-order, maybe we might have some left over. It depends on what's left after PAX.
After PAX, yeah.
But did you
they turned out really, really nice.
Those turned out, I think these look better than the image by far.
Those look so good. I didn't know how big the graphic was. That's great.
Yeah, it's sweet.
It looks like something you'd see at Comic-Con. Am I right? It looks like a comic to
me. Yeah, a lot of times I was going for like a 50s.
It looks like Jack Disney Kirby.
That's what I wanted Jason and
Weird Tales type comic book.
The Comic Con comparison could have been an insult, so I didn't know how to respond. You never know with the
Comic Con.
Make up a backstory for that shirt right now. What's the story going on there? Let's hear it. I want to see how your brain works. That sounded fucked
up.
Yeah,
who is that?
I guess I said that nicer. Who's this girl?
Who is that?
How do you know her? Why are you filming her?
Yeah, she was going... I do know.
It's with the noir.
She was... her boyfriend is going to the routine trips to Mars. They do that now.
They're not even married? He's going to Mars and he can't commit?
But, wait a minute. This is what happened. She got on the ship and she snuck on stowaway. But they waited to the exact amount. So you can't have any more or less when you enter the Mars atmosphere or you're going to burn the fuck up. So what they had to do was they had to jettison her out.
Good sign.
Sorry, you shouldn't be on.
With the Mega 64. She's hooked up to her.
Yeah, she hooked her up and sent her on out. So now she's just floating in space for all eternity.
Fucking
This is the fantasy you come up with for your shirt.
Viewers, now?
That's what happened.
What happened right
now? So this guy who loves space travel tried to go to Mars, but his relationship stowed away.
Well, they he was the pilot. He just wanted to be romantic, but this is it.
Maybe why don't you just say like he downloaded his brain into the Mega 64?
May I ask what her name is?
She's hooked up to it. It's my fucking story.
She's in stasis with him forever.
Is that character's name Jenny?
It's Judith.
Oh. Wow, that sounds really similar.
Strange.
To
that's
there.
Yeah.
I think Freud wants to dissect that story.
That's not canon, Agent by Dr. the way. Freud. What yeah. Sean just made up. Off the top of
yeah, that was.
I want you to know that we'll do better.
I think
next
that
time.
Actually was the plot to Passengers.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it was the same thing.
That's exactly. Well, yeah. Jennifer Lawrence takes a long trip at the end of that movie.
Yo, I want to pause for just 1 second on this podcast and plug something that I really wanted to share with everybody. Our friend Daniel Dussault, who actually just did the new Todd and Aaron poster that we are going to have at PAX, he is involved in a new Kickstarter for Relic Knights version 2, which is like a miniature anime-themed like skirmish game. They did one before, and they're doing another one, and he did the art and a lot of stuff for it, and it looks awesome. I really want to promote him because Daniel is awesome. He's done a lot of great stuff for us, so check out Relic Knights 2nd edition on Kickstarter. The link will be in the YouTube info, and check it out. Daniel's awesome.
All right.
Get out
Hey, okay, so back to what we were talking about with some video game stuff. Oh, by the way, if you're going to PAX East, is this week. We are days away. And there's going to be a lot of great stuff there. So in case you missed that before, go to mega64.com. We listed all the exclusives and other stuff. But come visit us. Booth 22021.
Are you looking forward to Boston? What are you looking forward to the most?
Well, you're looking at me, but I'm sitting this one out.
Well, I was basically talking to Rocco.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Everybody else, shut up.
No, I'm really. That's one of our biggest cons every year. I'm really looking forward to it.
No, not the. I'm talking about the city of Boston.
Oh, the city of Boston. Oh, lobster sandwiches. Lobster sandwiches in cold weather. Fuck yeah!
You're rubbing in all the seafood.
Is it cold this year? I heard spring came early this year.
No, it's cold.
Confirmed. All right.
Yeah, I've been checking.
Lobster sandwiches and cold weather.
And by the way, I am. The Nintendo Switch is out.
Yeah,
I'm going to be bringing it. I will be playing it at the booth. I'm going to ask everyone to not speak to me.
Now,
if you come to the booth,
this is pretty much how we run the booth anyway. If you
come to the booth and you see me, I'm going to ask.
No Nintendo DS this year. He's got the Switch.
I'm going to be playing this. I'm going to be deep in Zelda. So if you see me at all, just go ahead and ignore me.
This is going to be completely unlike any other PAX. Rocco won't be on Twitter. On his phone this year.
I talk to everyone who comes by the booth. I'm doing a goof.
Everyone.
I talk to everybody.
Everyone.
So
no one has ever not spoken to this guy.
All of them.
How far are you into Zelda? You said you got it. You playing it?
I don't know how far I am.
Well, that's the thing.
Is
like
how many hours?
It's an open world, so.
Yes.
How much time you put into it?
A lot. I don't know how many. A lot.
Man, I've never really gotten into an open world game.
Yeah.
I played it a little bit. And I get overwhelmed a little bit. Where
the beginning is the hardest part. Get past that.
I just don't know
you
what
said
to
it like
do.
He's an idiot.
No. It's no.
Do anything.
Because I had to say, I went through the same thing.
Do whatever you want, though.
Yeah, what?
No, I know. That's why I turn games off.
Punch people.
I turn games off because of that.
Dude.
Because I like, I need to.
Just walk around.
In Zelda fashion, I need a sword. And I need a shield.
Okay, there you go.
Which you find within like 2 minutes.
Yeah. I got the sword.
So start looking for a shield.
Yeah, well, okay. I just...
It's just that. Like, in an open world game, you do think about, like, what would I like right now?
Yeah.
And in good open world games, that stuff is probably provided for you. And that's what's so fun about it, because you feel like you came up with it yourself.
Right.
But they thought...
They steered you there.
They outsmarted you.
And I do feel like I am doing my own thing.
Don't think about it. Just keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I can't recommend that enough, because I was in the same thing. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? This game, I just turned it on and I've died 5 times. What is happening to me? And my brother was already much further, and he was like, this game starts and, all right, get the fuck out of this. Okay. Yeah.
So
go.
Happy.
And you're just like, wait, what? And as long as you just keep going.
Yeah.
It will all fall into
now
place.
Now I'm reading like this guy's journal and thinking like, okay, now I need to find this so I can get this jacket that I want. Maybe, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Just real quick, I'm borrowing Brian's Wii U and I bought Breath of the Wild.
Oh, okay.
Because he's waiting to get it on Switch or whatever. But I'm like, I want to play it.
Right.
So I got it today and I played it for like, geez, I think maybe like an hour and a half or 2 hours. It's crazy that that game starts you, your Link, go. Okay, so you go.
I love it.
Okay, go to the shrine. Okay, you go to the shrine. Now you have bombs. Now you have magnet power. Now you have this thing.
Right.
And it's like,
yeah, you have everything.
Hey, from the every other Zelda game is, ooh, it's going to be hard work to get this bow.
Yes.
Ooh, you got to work hard to get these bombs. This game kicks you in the ass and they go, you got it all. Go. Yeah. Go, go, go.
And then
I love
it's so funny when I saw the map and I'm like, oh, you can zoom out. And then I zoomed out. And
it's
I'm like,
huge.
Holy shit. Yeah.
This like, game rules.
Where I was pretty. Now, I thought that was the world and I thought that was impressive. And then I'm like, oh, this is like a fraction of what this fucking thing is.
But something that Eric said earlier was before the podcast. You told me that somebody was saying, somebody had mentioned in a review or something that playing this game made them realize they weren't tired of open world games, they were tired of bad open world games.
And how many cities have you ran around it?
And I've really realized that's between this and like Phantom Pain.
Yeah.
And Phantom Pain maybe was not quite as open, but it still was engaging in ways that made me want to just keep going. Mm.
This reminds this Zelda me of the game, Phantom Pain a lot.
Yes, this is Zelda's Phantom Pain.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be. I was like hoping, like that's all I could hope for, really. And sure enough, I'm going through the country. I'm exploring all this stuff. Here's an enemy base. How am I going to go about this? What am I going to do? Dominic is telling me, yeah, dude, these guys are so hard. I fought them with the sword. Well, wait, let me go up here. There's a big ass boulder. If I push this over, is this going to crush them all? Oh my God, it did. I didn't even have to fight. It is, everyone has their own adventure.
I let the kids play it for a little bit. And I looked over, and Emma had the little magnet thing, and she had a huge like block over these guys, and dropped them on all of them. They all died.
Yeah,
like, I never thought to do that.
Yeah, it is the Zelda adventure I always wanted. It really gives me the feelings that I did when I know it sounds cliche. I've heard people say this, but it's true that when I played the first Zelda, when I played that and went, where am I going? Oh, should I not be here? What is this thing with the eye? Why does this thing have an eye? Oh, God. Oh, no. I need to get out of here.
Strong.
I need this sense of adventure and exploration and...
Has another Zelda before had a jump button? Because I
don't think so.
Because no. I was...
maybe
doing,
two.
I was doing something, maybe.
Yeah, two. Dude.
I was doing something, and I was like, oh, I can't jump. And they're like, why not? I'm like, I can't jump. Like, I was like trying to do it, and it wasn't jumping. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. I do that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I did something by accident that I don't know how I did, and I want to find out, but... Straight Legolas surfing on my shield, shooting arrows enemies. And it did it on accident, and I can't get it to go again. But like, this game goes so deep with the recipe and the crafting.
Yes.
So I'm having a fucking blast.
When we were at GDC, and I didn't get a chance to see this, but I heard about it. It sounded very interesting. They did a talk on Zelda, and they talked about all the ideas that they had considered for making games that they kind of scrapped. Hmm. And you were telling me about some of this stuff.
It looked obnoxious.
I heard that there was like one where Link had a motorcycle.
Yeah.
There was one where aliens invade.
He looked like a grunge.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, all of these kind of how they arrived at what they eventually did was like, how do we reinvent Zelda? We need to do something fucking new. And they showed an alien invasion. It was literally going to be called The Legend of Zelda Invasion or something like that.
Huh.
But they showed Link with a motorcycle at one point with just more modernized kind of stuff, which I've always wondered why they've never tried, because in all honesty, they've said that the legend of Link and Zelda and all that
goes through time.
So I always was wondering, like, will they ever do one that's a little more modernized? And it looked like maybe they were toying with that. But we were saying when we were talking about that at GDC, like, because I always have that part of me that's like, yeah, go weird. Just go weird. They would have hit backlash if they had done that. Skyward Sword kind of rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then we waited for years and got...
I love Twilight Princess, but even that, people were like, oh, what is this? This isn't the Zelda I like.
Yeah, you know, you become a dog for 5 minutes.
You become a dog, and people were like, this isn't Zelda. So imagine, like... You're on a motorcycle.
It just would have been. It would have been gimmicky.
People
maybe,
wouldn't have accepted it as the Legend of Zelda game. No.
Yeah. I think they made the right choice in taking it back to its original concept and going as big as possible with it.
Gameplay. Improving the gameplay.
Yeah. Improving first. The gameplay in every way, but taking it back to that original Zelda sense of exploration and, you know, adventure.
Yeah, they kind of made it, like, extremely familiar. Like, at your core, you know, what you think of Zelda when you... When you hear a Zelda video game, what are the first things you think of? Yeah. They wanted to take those feelings
to the max. And,
yeah, max them out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done. Now, it's been crazy because you were saying earlier, like, it's been getting, like, perfect ratings across the board.
It's pretty unheard of for a game to get, like, perfect scores.
And I thought that was hype.
The way Zelda is getting perfect
scores.
Like,
Wednesday
and
Friday morning, I was, like, looking at those going... These people are fucking jaded.
Dude, in all this honesty, like when Skyward Sword came out, it had 9s and 10s. Oh, so I was like, yeah, no, I don't buy this. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Do you have a Switch? Did you
play? No. I'm playing on Wii U.
How is the load time? Because on the Switch, it's fucking great.
Hey, the load in when you turn the system on and start the game, the load going in to your world is a normal video game load time. When you die and it brings you back from a checkpoint, that load, I am so impressed at how fast it is.
Yeah.
It is super fast. And the regular load is just regular. And that's even on Wii U.
I would like to... Oh, because Wii U is slow. I would like to see the comparison of that because on the Switch, I was like... I wasn't ready.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy fast on the Switch. I've seen the comparison video.
Oh, is it? Because I was like, oh, fuck. I'm playing now. Like, okay, great. Like, it's super fast.
But I'm used to, like, open world Metal Gear, like that helicopter fucking cutscene.
Yeah, you're waiting around.
That is a load time. Yeah. It's like a helicopter cutscene, but it's a load time, too. That's long as hell. This just fucking gets you. It quick saves. I found myself saving when I'm in precarious moments. But the quick save feature always brings me back relatively close to where I was. Because you do die a lot. Especially if you're exploring unconquered lands that you're probably low level and shouldn't be in. Stuff will one hit you like crazy, but you learn a tactic to like, all right, I'm sneaking.
That's
past
what was so fun. I mean, I was on top of a pile of rocks that suddenly turned alive.
Oh,
I was like,
golem.
Wait, what? Yeah. And what was great is it was a one hit kill monster. I was not clearly meant to fight it, but then I was like, well, wait, there was a weak point on his back.
Yeah.
So the next time I stood on that pile of rocks and waited for him to materialize, oh, I'm already on his back. Dead.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I did a totally different and unique way where. I saved up like a shit ton of arrows and peppered him away from behind
that's
a tree.
Great.
But it took like 40 arrows.
Oh, there you go.
But I killed him.
So yeah, it's just full of these experiences.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Breath of fresh air is what I called it in our Dark Souls video.
Yeah.
And apparently that's what it is.
Yeah.
Now what?
Oh, I was just gonna bring up the Switch itself. I was gonna talk about that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, we're getting pretty close to the end.
Well,
so.
we are over, but I figured we go a little over today. We have a lot still to cover.
We have a lot still to go.
So let's make it a little faster, but we can keep going. I mean, whatever. But yeah, talk about the Switch. I mean, that's a new Nintendo console.
Yeah, new Nintendo console came out. And at this point now, I've mostly played Zelda with it.
Right.
But yeah, I it has been amazing. Just speaking for myself, but... I've played so much. I've only had this game, you know, I only got home later yesterday.
Right.
But I've already played the game a ton because of the portability. It has been amazing. Really? I had to go somewhere else to take care of something. I brought it with me. You know, it reminds me of that episode of South Park where they get the game sphere and they go, okay, if I don't sleep, I can play 4 more hours. And then if I don't do my homework, I can, that's an additional one. I find myself doing that with the portable, like, okay, I need to go take my car in, but I can, if I bring this, then I can complete that dungeon and then I'll bring it back. I'm like making crazy computations in my head going like, yeah, I could just keep playing. I don't have to stop. I can go all in, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, no, it's been...
Oh,
it's
I'm looking
been,
forward to that fucking flight to Boston.
Yeah, exactly.
That's been sweet.
But so that's been really cool. As for the device itself, I really like, and honestly, it's playing Zelda. It's funny, I got, you know, it's got the Joy-Cons and they have a Pro Controller. I got the Pro Controller, but I almost don't even feel like I need the Pro Controller. Yeah, I've really liked, honestly, playing with both Joy-Cons separate.
Oh, really?
Just in my hands, just like that. It brings me back to, it's like a wireless version of the Wiimote Nunchuck. Like that's, I just sit back and play it like that. And that's
you don't have to put them in that center dock?
You don't have to.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's fine doing that, but I started just playing with them separate, and it's like, yeah, this is great. I can just kind of put my hands wherever I want them, and then I'm still playing.
Gotcha.
So I've been liking that. So I love the hardware, Everything's great. In terms of like the software itself or how it runs or whatever, it's super snappy, which I love. But I will say I'm kind of missing the Nintendo character a little bit. Like, their devices as of late they've done a really good job at making them distinctly Nintendo, like with Miis or with
music,
you know,
and Wii and with, photo modes. Yeah,
when
and shit.
When the 3DS came out, yeah. It didn't. I mean, that was not a great launch. It didn't have a lot. Didn't have a lot to play. But I loved. It was still a great system at launch because when you turned it on, there was still like Street Pass and this face game and this AR card thing.
The music
and this
recorder.
Yeah, there was all kinds of weird shit you could do with it still. That kind of Nintendo character. And I was kind of disappointed. It was like kind of just a sparse menu. Like, here's your game.
It is
okay.
Real sparse, and I don't really know what's going to go there. Although, yeah. I did not like the fucking Mii Plaza before.
No, I don't need that again.
That was dumb.
I'm just giving an example.
That.
I don't need that again.
I know what you're saying, yeah, but like, it was just like, oh, here's the white screen, and there's my game, and that's that.
I do like that it is so direct and snappy. I mean, I do like that. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But
I almost miss, because I've been playing the Nintendo Classic. I got one. I almost miss the old days of video games where you put a game in, and you turn it on, and the game starts.
Well, I think you could set it to do that.
No, but I just mean like this whole, like in the modern era of games, there is a home screen, there's a HUD, all these channels, these features.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, there's something about a box and the only purpose it serves, almost like a VCR, you put a thing into it and it just connects it to your TV.
Right, yeah, sure.
There's
yeah.
something kind of nice about that.
Yeah. I agree.
And then
simplify.
It was that way up until PS1, and then it was like, ooh, you can listen to a music CD as well.
Yeah.
And then
but
it
even
was
the PlayStation
all down
one,
there.
You put the disc in, and it just loads up the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Menus and
updates. So yeah, I mean, but that's just a thought. I do love how snappy and responsive everything is.
Can you play any old games on that yet? Like, does the eShop?
No, virtual console yet.
Nothing yet.
No, and that's another thing. There's still some weird decisions being made.
I'm trying to think now. This, besides the Wii and the Wii U, I guess every Nintendo console, I've never really gotten a console besides Nintendo ones on other than release days. Like, I always get it like
launch,
months later, years later. So, yeah, so it's kind of weird for me to get a system and it's kind of be like, oh, yeah, you got to wait. It's like, oh.
Yeah, you're not used to that.
Because
that's even PS4, when it came out, there was a lot. It was like, you got to wait a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, so far, I love the Switch.
Let's do Return Fire.
Yeah.
All on a beautiful morning. All on a beautiful
ready to fire back.
Yeah. We upload a lot of videos to YouTube. People say don't look at the comments section. We love to look at the comments section. Not only that, we pick out our favorite comments. And we like to comment on your comment. Because it's not just an echo chamber, it's a discussion.
Yep. Yeah. Feedback.
It's a discussion.
I'm not going to let you get away with that shit. Fuckers, you're going to hear about it. Yeah. You're going to hear what we have to say about that.
You ready for the first one?
All right, so the first comment, we picked out a couple select comments. These are about our most recent Ueda Madden video. This one was funny. Comment on the video that I didn't think of. Makes 90-yard return, then in bold.
Yeah.
Spikes Princess.
Right. She was I did think of that when we were doing it, but I thought my character was just so excited that he scored.
That's how he turns her back.
I think that might be a legitimate plot hole. I never even thought of that.
Oh, I totally thought of that.
Yeah, I thought of that.
Hey, I thought about it.
Hey, no bullshit. We filmed those segments so fucking out of order that when he spiked it, I wasn't even thinking that was the princess.
Oh, wow.
Only later did we turn Nicole into the princess, and even until I read that comment, I fucking laughed. Because I was like, we fucking spiked the goddess of all nature.
Yeah.
So good on you.
I thought that was part of it. I thought that's how we turned her back.
I thought that was
And then he showed up to say it didn't work.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, I guess sometimes the jokes are there even when you didn't write them. So Spike's Princess. That was a good one. All right. Next comment. How do we know if Mega 64 is actually speaking Japanese or if it's actually Jabba the Hutt's native tongue of Huttese?
Wasn't Japanese.
Jabba no bother.
It wasn't Japanese?
Rocco actually did all the voices for that, so he can confirm what the language was.
Yes, it was the foreign tongue of gibberish.
Mm. Yeah.
Just like any other game.
Were you trying to... It did sound kind of like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
Is that... Is that how it is in ICO?
I just listened to the elders talk in Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah. I think Roger Goodell
emulated that.
They was sound very like Jabba no Bata.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Borky die.
Maybe sword. Goodell, but the regular narration.
Oh, the regular one.
It reminded me of the most recent game a lot.
Last Guardian. Because it's narrated that way.
I think a lot of that's people, and I didn't know this, I think a lot of people don't know that those games are not in Japanese.
I honestly did not know
that. Well, he thinks so.
I didn't know that.
Okay, so Sean's racist.
Yeah. I don't know Japanese. I'm sorry.
Sorry? No, those games are in a made-up language.
Yeah.
And so kudos to Rocco. He made up his own language. And you thought it was Japanese.
When Rocco asked me to do my little parts, the characters like in the game, they're always like I have a high pitched voice anyway, so I try to make it like extra
Turiko.
High, like a Shinji
type thing. A little more
thing,
childish.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I was going for that. And then I kept hearing myself when he was editing. I was like, I sound fucking terrible. But
well, it's not your real voice.
No, thank God.
Psych, you actually sound like that.
Oh, fuck.
All right. Let's see the next comment.
Here's the next comment.
Y'all need to give Nicole a raise. Acting as a dead body, throwing her in a tiny cage, transforming her into football, shaking my head.
Get your razor.
Yeah.
Nicole is the best sport.
He's hurt.
The best sport.
We should raise
her. Know what? When we filmed that cage thing, that was before 2:30, before the kids got out of school.
Oh,
and so she didn't mind. And then we had to do one more shot, and she had to get back in the cage when the field was full of people, and they were all looking at us.
I think that was really demoralizing.
It was. And then we were like, hey, you know what, Nicole? Just get out. We don't need the shot. Okay, like,
we just cut.
Yeah, like, you know what? Right. This isn't worth it.
I think she was like, all these kids think we're filming the weirdest porno right now, and I just don't like it.
Yeah.
That's where kids' minds go.
Yeah, we should give her a raise. Maybe we won't. We'll give her actual payment.
Yeah, we'll pay her.
One of these days.
Not just shirts.
Not just free merch.
Yeah, free soda.
I'm willing to push, see how far she goes.
All right. I'm with Rocco. Monetarily and performance-wise. How crazy can we get?
I'm a feminist. You know, I believe in...
You know what?
I think that Double Dragon video. Bring her back and whip her.
Nicole has the easiest roles. Dead body, sitting in a cage.
That's why we give her the best parts. Yeah.
Easy.
Because I am a feminist.
People keep asking. I've seen in the comments having Nicole be on the podcast. We never had her on the podcast.
I wonder how she would like it.
I don't know. We should do it.
We'll invite her on the podcast.
How has she never been on the podcast?
I don't know. She just hasn't.
We'll invite her on the podcast.
Crazy.
We'll get her on here one of these days. All right. Yeah, what's the next one?
Here's the next one.
So glad Mega 64 is still making content, even though popularity has dropped off.
Okay.
What the fuck?
What's his
name?
Sponge HD.
You know what's funny about that comment is we've gotten that comment, I think, since 2004. Seriously, like...
It's an arrow to your armor, but...
It's ever since we began, it's been... Wow, these guys really fell off. Anyway, great to see them back. And I brought it up before. It's like, you see that happen to like Weird Al. Whenever he puts out a new album, it's like, wow, glad to see him make a comeback. He's always working. He's always doing stuff. He's never, you know.
If you take like a 2-year break to make the next album and put that album out, you didn't go away. You were making the next album.
Yeah, but also during that he's touring.
Yeah,
he's
course.
There. He's out.
This is our quest.
Put out weekly content.
This is our year where we hit 1 million subscribers and we're closer to it now than ever before in our history.
Dude, and
we are literally more popular now than we have ever been. So
take that, HD.
There it is.
Suck on it. SpongeBob Hater.
Okay, ready for the next one?
Yeah, next one.
Symbol.
Where's the Indian guy? Okay, so this was a comment from last week's podcast.
That looked like Sean.
Weird.
That was my thumbnail.
Why did you say that?
Thumbnail. Why are you saying
Sean?
I don't know.
Jeez.
I didn't say that.
I got a trained eye.
I just use my thumbnail.
I just want to say once and for all, I am Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how
Let the record show.
And I knew that, so I would never have had that comment.
True.
I'm not Raj from Big Bang Theory. I'm,
Derek.
Who's a famous Puerto Rican?
You.
Ricky Martin.
Yeah.
I'm J-Lo.
You live in La Vida Loca.
Okay. When you think of me, think of J-Lo, okay?
Okay.
Think of Menudo, Ricky, shaking it.
Yeah. Think of big butts and hot
nuts.
Yeah! Thank you, Eric. I want a shirt with my face on it that says big butts hot and hot nuts.
That's rad.
Nice.
Post for the camera.
Let's make that happen.
You sure you're not Brazilian?
Oh, I'm sure. 100% full blood Puerto Rican, big butts and high nuts.
You ready for the last one? One of them didn't load. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Yeah. What's the last one?
The last one.
Can Eric be in front of the camera more and be part of a podcast for fuck's sake?
No.
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 Yes.
Sorry, you're alone on that one.
We the like answer him is no. Where he is.
Every podcast Eric has ever appeared on regularly has been canceled.
It's true.
So,
oh no,
the Go Home Show.
Oh fuck!
Yeah,
he's
oh,
right.
That was supposed to continue until Eric showed up.
Yeah, they were doing
where's
so good.
At? Who even knows?
Eric. Oh, Eric is cursed. Known in the podcast circles around the world. He is known as the Kiss of Death.
Yep.
Yeah. On your show.
Dude, don't go on, we go back.
He's not allowed on Mark Maron. He's not allowed on Joe Rogan Experience.
not allowed.
Because they know. they don't want to be canceled.
They know the truth.
Young so, Jamie got a memo.
You know what? We allow him to get on camera here and there. But as the podcasts have comments have shown, our popularity is waning.
Think about how good and how great the podcast looked and sounded before Eric showed up, you know, and you could just see kind of the deterioration.
Look, if he stopped doing that, we would go back to those days.
Yeah, right on. It'd be the good old days. Fuck. Oh, well.
Ugh. All right. Well, so that's this week's Return Fire.
We have Returned Fire. Hey, real quick, in keeping with the theme of this podcast, talking about things that happened at GDC, we should cover what we watched as we edited the videos.
Do you want to save that for the after show, or
I think the people want
to. At this point,
know.
I have to edit anymore, so that's fine.
The people want to know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The people want to know.
No, not I'm editing.
If okay, you enjoy. Want to, if you want
I'm
to,
doing all the live editing.
Yeah, so
yeah.
There you go.
If you want to edit great videos like Mega 64, you got to know what movies to put on as you do it. So in our hotel room, we hooked up a Blu-ray player, and we had these great. I don't know why it was Blu-ray. We didn't even need that because these are the best quality they're ever going to be. DVD. Maybe.
They got it right.
So some of these were given to us by a viewer, and some Kevin actually went out of. As you may know, Rasputin, which is where we got DVDs from in the past,
they closed that store.
Closed down.
Yeah.
So some of them were purchased, I think, there by a viewer before it closed, or went to a different Rasputin. There is one further away from us,
right?
But they went there and got us some, and some Kevin went and got at Book Off, a used. Place.
Oh yeah,
they have stuff. So we watched out. Let's talk about what we saw here. This is a 2-in-1, but we
it's
watched
like a porno.
We watched The Black Godfather.
All right, real quick, Black Godfather was garbage. We turned it off after about five minutes.
Come on.
Let me tell you that started, and I went to my room to make a phone call. I came back, and it was a different
already
DVD.
Off.
And I was like, oh, what happened?
I can't tell you what this movie's about. I can't tell you. All I can say is
The Godfather was black.
There was no budget for fucking lights in this movie. Everything was filmed in the middle of the night.
Yep.
It was pitch black. Everything was lit in the headlights of a car. And so it was just...
That's how The Godfather was filmed, but they thought they were going to
do it. No, you know what's funny is this was a team of low-budget filmmakers thinking, oh, we could just do all the tricks The Godfather did.
Yeah, turn the lights off.
Then again, they couldn't fucking do it. It was awful.
Yeah.
So about 10 minutes of Black Godfather, had to turn it off.
Yep. In the equally terrible department, we have Wrestling Planets Shooting Range.
You guys have no idea what that means.
Yeah, we don't.
Nor do I care.
Now we know.
Equally as, but spent about 10 minutes watching this as well.
We kept skipping, waiting for the wrestling. It never fucking happened.
There was no wrestling.
No wrestling.
These were like three ugly wrestlers backstage talking for an hour and a half.
Oh. Briefly... Just quickly, it's called Shooting Range because what they're doing are called shoot interviews where they're just talking about backstage politics and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they're like shooting the shit.
Man, yeah, it was boring as fuck.
There was a guy on this. Oh, yeah, I don't know.
There's like a huge following for shit like this online.
Oh my God, it was terrible.
Dude, well, not in real life.
There was a guy whose forehead was so fucked up from razor cuts that it was insane. Look at that fucking Klingon.
These are all the
it was
guys
crazy.
Who, really you did. Know... When you get into wrestling, Eric, you know, there's like the professional side of wrestling and the amateur side of wrestling. And then the side that's about three rungs below amateur side, which is like, oh, these guys wrestle for drug money. That's what it looks like. And that's the caliber of wrestlers we were dealing with at this
time. At that time, most of those guys were doing that, yeah.
So
yeah,
there you go. That was fucking crazy.
Well, but then things got better a little bit, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
The NFL's hard-hitting grooves.
Right.
I don't know how to even describe this.
It was like... It was the weirdest fucking thing. It was like, let's interview Peyton Manning and have him... We'll show highlights of Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison touchdown passes set to Blink-182.
And yeah, it was like interviews and NFL highlights set to popular music. So they at one point Static X starts playing. rest in peace. At one point Moby started playing.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, and it's showing like Peyton Manning going, yeah, I really like Moby. I like to listen to Moby, and it's like, burr, burr, burr. I guess I didn't know, you know, like
also a moment. Peyton Manning sings with Kenny Chesney.
Yeah, that was a real treat. Wanted to hack my dick off at that point.
Probably the best they've ever seen.
Garrett's back there. Yeah, we're done with spoilers.
You guys talk about Static X?
Yep. May they rest in peace. This movie, 587, The Great Train Robbery.
Yeah.
This little shit steals a train.
Look at that dog. My favorite thing with this movie is this kid stole a train and no one can find him because he's on the run. They don't think to follow the fucking tracks of the train.
This movie
is like Unstoppable meets Shitty Little Kids. Yeah. I don't remember why they had to steal. I don't remember why. It's a movie about 2 10-year-olds, a brother and sister, who decide to hijack a train.
Right.
Yeah.
Tight.
Because they wanted to get to a museum. Why. Because it was at a scrapyard and it was going to be destroyed for steel parts.
Yeah.
And they wanted to send it to the museum because it was a beautiful train. It was a 587.
Yeah. So, like, that's how trains get into museums. When 10-year-olds hijack them and drive them to the museum,
straight into them.
You have no other choice than to put it on the
store. We're the trash right to the museum.
The best part of this was the 80-year-old conductor that kept asking to help the kids. And you're just waiting to he's definitely like some kind of molester.
There was pedophile vibes to this guy. So the whole time they're like, it's the type of movie where they're messing around at the train yard and one gets his like foot stuck. And then you just see like fat gut and muddy boots walking toward the kid. And
scary.
The kid's like, and then you just see like a knife come out. And the whole movie is like, dude, this guy's going to get these kids. And like, I don't know. I couldn't trust him after that opening scene.
Yeah.
They foreshadowed too much that he was going to do something bad to these children.
Yeah.
And like every scene that he's in, they would never explain what was wrong with him, but they always implied he had a serious problem.
Yeah.
Like
he
would be doing something. He'd just be like, oh, and they'd be like, what's wrong? He'd be like,
I'm suppressing my pedophilic urge.
Oh, don't worry about me, kids. Just get out of here. Just leave me alone for today. Just come back tomorrow.
Like, what the fuck is going on with this guy?
I'm trying to erase Megan's Law with my mind.
He's like, you have to leave. You have to leave before it's too late. And then they all get locked on this train together. And it's like, what the fuck is going to happen when this thing hits the rails?
Yeah. I don't know if you can get this shot, Kevin, but his face coming from the side, like Photoshop from that train, is so fucking shitty.
Yeah.
It was part horror movie. It's supposed to be feel-good family film.
Oh, yeah, it was just scary.
It was good.
But in the end, everything worked out fine.
Yeah,
no bad stuff.
I don't think we watched this for a while.
It was snowboarding.
On and off. Yeah, it was like Jackass, but
It was just snowboarding.
This we watched for 2 seconds. The period of purple crying. This was what to do if your baby's crying so hard they turn purple. Basically,
That is not what it's about.
It was just don't shake your baby, basically. Don't shake your baby. And it was a tutorial on how to not shake your baby. It wasn't very good.
Did you watch that show?
I missed that one.
Krusty Demons.
Now, this was good.
This had the best title. Krusty Demons. Basically,
it was like a skate video, but it was BMX and motocross. Apparently, Krusty Demons is a huge group. They have like 30 DVDs and a video game.
They have a game.
Krusty Demons. We're not endorsing them, but we watched their DVD.
And then we got to the two biggest highlights, in my opinion, of the night.
I think the train was up there, for the record.
The train was up there. I'll give you that. But, ladies and gentlemen, possibly a remnant of the Buttercream universe.
I really believe that it is.
I think that it is.
This is from the Creamiverse.
The Creamiverse.
The Butterverse.
Ladies and gentlemen, no more baths.
Shit
goes wrong in this city. They're about to close down the path. There's a lovable old man. Another weird vibe. Another old man with a bunch of kids.
This old guy owns a junkyard, and He conveniently carved his own shortcut to the elementary school through his junkyard. So every kid in the neighborhood.
Convenient.
Every kid in the neighborhood has to go through his junkyard. But he also has he also conveniently made a clubhouse out of all the garbage. And the kids are allowed to use it. And third, he has this weird rule. No bikes allowed in the junkyard. So if you thought you were going to make a quick escape, sorry, rules. Leave your bikes at the perimeter.
What?
Some kid breaks the rule, rides his bike through the junkyard, gets an injury.
On the property.
And his hotshot, sleazy lawyer dad wants to sue the guy and steal the property from him. The movie's called No More Baths, and for about an hour, it's like, these kids are fucking taking baths.
It was
really
like an hour and 10 minutes in. It's like, they're still taking baths.
But then finally, these kids feel like, man, you know, all our parents, they're not listening to us, that we really like this guy, and he shouldn't be sued.
We like the clubhouse.
We're going to make them listen to us.
Yeah.
We're going to stop taking baths.
Dude, like a hunger strike.
And these kids get fucking dirty.
Yeah, these kids smell like shit.
They get the city. They get like fucking shit smears all over them.
Oh, like
they
Linus?
Get like fucking pit stains and like
they don't
change
their clothes anymore. Linus,
shit stains, piss stains. You
know, Dr. Shit. And you're probably thinking like, what the fuck is that gonna do? It fucking works. They go to court. Stinking up the place, and I can't wrap my brain around it, seriously, but somehow it fucking works, and they're able to save the day with their smelly swamp asses.
I think the rich guy, who's like the bad guy in this movie, comes around like, you know, hey, kids, these kids stand up for what they believe in. I commend that.
Now,
and he smells them, and he's just like, fuck.
Something that I thought was a little interesting choice was the whole movie is kind of about the civil rights movement, and like,
they tie it in.
They keep asking the guy's an older black guy, and they keep asking him, like, you know, you were there, what, you know, and he's like telling these kids like things that he experienced.
Huh.
And at the end, they win the court case and they're all excited. And then a fire truck pulls up.
Yeah, wait.
And
I
they
didn't
spray
think
all
about
the fire hose to clean them off.
Yeah, they're like, okay.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so the kids win. The kids win their case and they're like, all right, we'll take baths again. And they literally have a fire truck pull up and hose them all down.
No German Shepherds.
It's not like a happy thing, but it's like, you were just talking about the civil rights.
The neighborhood church burns a cross to celebrate. That was kind of a weird scene.
I thought that was a weird choice. That.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Enjoy that bath.
Definitely part of the Buttercreamer universe.
Definitely. You kept waiting for them to bring them up. So, but it didn't.
Oh, and it's
but
for
now,
sure, like,
I'm pretty sure the old guy was like an ex-buttercreamer.
Yes, I think he was.
It's like Christian family program.
And then a local production. This is from San Diego.
I think this was the highlight of what
we watched.
This
is from San
personally.
Diego.
No kidding.
Superhero movie.
The Super Dentists Strike Back.
Mm.
That's right. Sugar, if you're watching this, all the sugar thugs out there,
fuck you.
You're fucked.
I can get behind this.
The Super Dentist Strike Back. This was made by local dentists not far from us here who made this elaborate dentist office that looks like a fucking theme park.
It looks cool.
They got like a spaceship interior on it. They got like a jungle gym.
Video game kiosks.
Yeah, video games and stuff. So the dentists all dress like superheroes, and they are like teleporting to like wherever they need, you know.
And there's like a snidely Whiplash.
Yeah, it was that.
Dastardly cartoon villain with the long mustache on the top. They have this bad guy who owns a candy store, and he's constantly kidnapping people and force feeding them candy.
That's rude.
He'll tie them up and then just like
sprinkle
candy into their open mouth.
The surprising thing was that they had a budget. Like, they were filming in a candy store in a mall.
Yeah, well, they're dentists, man.
I guess so.
It was surprising. It was like they put some effort into it.
It was something.
Hey, so yeah, the Super Dentists.
Cool.
It's hard to even talk shit. I mean, it's pretty good for a dentist movie.
Yeah.
I remember, dude, my dentist, he was obnoxious. I would not have wanted
him
in a movie.
His movie would have been
His movie would have been total shit. These guys look cool.
But I wanted to say, they also have an option to watch in 3D.
What?
And we didn't have glasses, but you can get free 3D glasses at all their offices. So I'm going to go to the dentist this week.
Holy shit.
I'm going to be like, hey, I'm here for cleaning. And also, can I get – I should.
You should ask the dentist to sign that.
Yeah, dude. I'll make a video out of it.
We should have him be on the podcast.
They should.
In costume.
He's going to think you're making fun of him.
Yeah.
Dude, well, so anyway.
We are.
So that's one smart
the Super Dentist. So yeah, anyway, those are the DVDs that's we that. Watched. Hopefully you guys can check out those films. They're available everywhere. Netflix. Watch the original Godfather first before
Netflix
Black Godfather.
That you can get all the Buttercream movies on?
Christflix?
Yeah, Christflix.
Probably. Is there not an...
something like that.
They still just have VHS rental
stores.
Oh, yeah,
they don't do technology.
They need to do a pious service.
Since we're talking about movies, yeah. I'm not racist.
Nice.
Great. Good.
I don't even see color, honestly.
Nice. It's
good.
I saw Get Out this weekend. The movie didn't even make sense to me.
I haven't seen it yet.
Didn't even add up?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I couldn't put two and two together.
Okay.
Oh, well.
I don't.
Anyways, that's my review. Made no sense.
I know literally nothing about this movie. So, all right, cool.
Well, two and two does not go together, Sean. You know that now.
Okay. The end.
Thank you.
I did see Get Out this weekend. We're talking about movies.
I really wanted to see it.
These guys saw Logan. I saw Get Out. That was my joke at the end of the movie because it is a movie that is racially charged.
Oh yeah.
But in a movie, you know, when you hear a movie is racially charged, it's usually like an Oscar caliber movie. This is not.
It's a horror movie,
this
right?
Racially charged horror movie.
It's, you know, I wouldn't even consider it a horror movie. We've talked in the past, what is a horror movie?
Sure.
This is more like a suspense thriller.
Okay.
Yeah.
But also a comedy. It's written by and directed by Jordan Peele from Key & Peele. So
it is
like based on, you know, I read the trivia facts on IMDb. And I read that he got the idea from Night of the Living Dead and Stepford Wives.
Oh, wow.
Night of the Living Dead in the way that movie is about, has an African-American main character who has to deal with racial issues within a horror movie.
Get Out
kind of does that too. And also the Stepford Wives, it's similar to that where you're going into like a perfect community and it's like, okay, everything's kind of weird here.
Too controlled.
What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. What's
going on? It was pretty good. I saw it at a packed house on Friday night, and the theater was cheering throughout the movie. They were loving it. The audience fucking loved it.
Wow, hell yeah.
Yeah. So it's a fan favorite. It's one of those movies where it's gonna get the crowd like
I wanna go
vocal,
see it.
The crowd's gonna be amped. You know, it is a horror movie. There are twists to it. It's new, so I don't want to spoil it. But I'll recommend it. I saw Split a week ago, and in the horror sense, I liked Split a little bit better, but that's not to say Get Out is, like, worse. It's a little bit different.
Tension and suspenseful.
There's a lot of, like, good horror movies out in theaters right now, low-key horror movies.
Yeah, because they're keeping it stripped down and you know, like, they're not, like, these over-budget, overblown shit movies. Like, they're actually, like, getting people who have something to do and say, you know, with relatively low budgets. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I hear you there.
You know what? And I'll give Get Out the same review I gave Split. It's like an extended episode of The Twilight Zone.
Cool.
It is another movie just like that. So I will recommend it with that review.
Cool. I really wanted to see it. I was dying to. But where we were in San Francisco, we had time to see a movie. And it wasn't playing like anywhere near us. It was okay. So Kevin and I went and saw Logan. And you saw Logan.
I saw it on Friday night.
Yeah. When we went, it was really cool. We saw it at the Metreon in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been rebuilding a lot of it. We saw it in
big theater.
Yeah, we saw it in a brand new Dolby theater. Huh. And it was like, tickets are kind of expensive for this. It's not IMAX, so what's the deal with this? They're doing this thing where it's like you see it in the Dolby experience. And what it was, as soon as you walk in, it was like, you know how you walk into a movie theater and there's a wall there and you go on either side to get to your seats?
Yeah.
As soon as you walk in, that wall was another projection. It was like a projection of him going, like Logan walking, and it was almost like the poster from the movie in motion.
What the fuck?
And it was there. It was like every piece of it was all theatrical. It was like every piece of the experience. So you go in, and it was like, whoa. And we walked around it, and then you go into the theater, and it was they had the Atmos sound system. So it was millions of, I mean, not millions, but tons of speakers.
All over.
And they're all illuminated. So these red glowing speakers just boom, 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 boom. And then on the roof too.
They want you to see them.
And from, yeah, yeah, they did. The whole thing was showing off what they had.
Yeah.
And before, they even run through a demo before it starts. And they showed that all those speakers were there. And so not only did it sound good, but the movie itself was projected by laser. It's a brand new technology.
Wow.
Doesn't use standard projection. And so they even had like everything like, here it is, da-da-da-da, and then it turned off. And then a message, it was so cheesy, came up. Yes, the projector is still on. like if you were in pitch black, but what it does
is
it doesn't project black.
Yeah.
If it's black, it doesn't project it. It uses laser to project the colors. So the black is really deep and like so
the, LED
the picture
TV.
Was immaculate.
Wow, oh, cool.
And the seats were all reclinable leather seats.
Jesus Christ.
And they all had bass drivers in them.
Oh,
so
in this, oh
so
shit.
I mean, someone shoots at Logan.
You feel it.
Those shots are hit. I mean, you are feeling every bump.
Oh,
the car gets hit.
It's like a ride.
It was pretty cool.
How much was a ticket?
20. It was about 20.
See, I did.
That's not too far off than what it is.
But honestly,
truly
like,
not that far off.
What
did right.
Was that? What do you think, Kevin? Was
Hold
that worth 20 bucks?
That's four extra dollars per ticket.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I thought the experience of it was worth it for what it was. Mm-hmm. And you're in the middle of San Francisco.
A regular ticket. Anyway. When I saw Get Out, $15.99 for one
really?
Adult ticket.
Interesting.
Now,
regular movie theater.
Dude, my recliner leather was cheaper than that, but I go to the hood to cool. It's $12.
You got those theaters. Hood recliners.
I got those hood recliners. But you just, I love now scheduling when I'm going to go see the movie, buying a ticket in one of those assigned seating recliner places. Yeah. And we found one that's $12.
Really?
That's
it's
cool.
$10 if you go before, like, I think 3 or something.
Oh, yeah. That's I didn't cool. go for a matinee. So.
But wow. Yes. Where do you go to see it? And it was 17.
AMC on a Friday night.
Damn.
Okay.
Packed house.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, in terms of the movie itself, so we probably see it from different sides. I've always had an appreciation for X-Men, but you've always been really you love
yeah.
Wolverine
I've loved
and all
Wolverine.
That shit.
I've seen every I've bought every Wolverine movie
yeah.
right.
that he was in.
So,
I mean, Hugh Jackman's been playing him for like
ever?
10 years now.
More
yeah.
than that.
More, yeah.
Like.
So I'll just say
18
yeah,
years.
It's been a long
Is
time.
It really?
Yeah, I mean, the first
X-Men,
X-Men
came out in 1999.
God.
Was it 99? I thought it was 2001.
Damn.
No, because X2 was 02. Yep. So, yeah. sure. Okay.
Holy
first
shit.
First X-Men was 1999.
Yeah, that's... Think about how... I mean, he was in a bunch of other movies.
That's why they
iconically,
made this movie. He's like, I can't be Wolverine for another 20 years.
And I'm so glad they fucking... They made this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so glad they made this movie as the last one. Because it's the fucking movie Wolverine fans have been waiting for so long.
Yeah, so,
for 18
so this is,
years.
So this is what I was going to say. This is my perspective, and I'm curious what yours is.
Yeah.
I liked it. You know, I read a lot that it was like, oh my gosh, it's so much more nuanced than any other superhero movie. It's finally the depths of you know, it's such a deep drama, and this is the I didn't buy that. Like, it was another X-Men movie. It was or you know, superhero movie, whatever you want to say.
People probably weren't expecting like the kid and the like ooh, a father-daughter bond kind of relationship.
I don't know. I don't know. I just felt like it wasn't anything deeper than any of that stuff.
That's
it
where
was
the
more
depth comes
it
in.
Was more somber and more morose maybe. But it was still, you know, a lot of the same X-Men jargon and just not... I didn't really feel anything deeper. That being said, it was nice that Wolverine got a decent movie. I mean, yeah. he got a standalone movie 3 times now. And you know, 2 of them, I've erased from my memory.
Dude, Days of Future Past was like the best Wolverine movie up
yeah,
until
Yeah, in
then.
All honesty,
an
and that was
movie.
An enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel, you know, I don't know. This to me, it was another superhero movie. Whatever. I guess that's a criticism. But at the same time, like I said, it was like an actual decent Wolverine movie. And because it was rated R, they didn't have to hold back.
No.
And because I always thought inherently, you know, I don't believe in like arbitrarily just making something R rated just to be, oh, you know, whatever. But Wolverine is just inherently destined to be it's an R rated thing. You know what I mean? Just the nature of what he does and who he is.
Yeah, they put it in a PG-13 box for 18
yeah,
years.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool seeing it. Like, oh, okay, now we
Deadpool
are just
to happen for
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
yeah, so, you know, seeing it that way, it was kind of like, oh, okay, hey, that's kind of cool. They're not holding back anymore. You know, whatever. You know, sometimes it wasn't necessary, but sometimes it was, you know, a lot of it, I was like, okay, cool. They're not, they're just letting it be, you know. Yeah. So, but ultimately it was good. I didn't cry or I didn't get some emotional catharsis out of it, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I don't know. So from your perspective as a super fan, where did you, what, I mean.
No, I mean, I think I'm right there with you. Like, I loved it. It was the best of Wolverine on screen that they've done so far.
Sure. Yeah.
It was really fucking cool just seeing him. I've been a comic book reader since middle school. And specifically Wolverine is the book that I get like all the issues of. There's a couple years where I'm missing, where I went on hiatus. But I mean, I was right there reading along when they introduced X-23 as a character.
Oh,
I've read a lot of books that she's been in, and even her own title for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I'm familiar with that character, that side of it. And then there's also some short mini-series stuff that they ended up making their own book of called Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
And that even that story...
Was this based on that or no? Or...
It's very... The way the Fox movies are... The X-Men movies, that is.
Yeah.
They're all very, like, loosely based on shit that happens in the comics. Even the rest of Marvel stuff, like, Avengers Civil War is based off the Civil War series that was in the comics that was great. But shit's tweaked.
Yeah.
They take a little from here and there, whatever. Mm-hmm. But this, I thought, like, Logan set it in a more of a realistic world, too, than any of the X-Men movies have done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just really fucking well done. And having the R rating let him go on... killing sprees I never thought I'd be able to see.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah.
It's funny. I was telling Kevin, just in talking to you specifically about this, I was telling Kevin, there was a point in my life I was really like almost squeamish about stuff like that, like to the level that it gets in this movie. I remember seeing there were certain movies that it would just be like, okay, you know, I was very, because growing up I didn't really watch stuff like that. So gotcha. It was always very like, I'd be really like affected by it. Like, ooh. And it's so funny. It was all it took was working with you. When we did that Cold Fear video with you.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe one other thing. And I was like, oh, these are movies and they got some 29-year-old guy just putting the latex on. You know what I mean? Like, I watch it now and I'm
make
just like,
worms
oh, how'd they,
wiggle out
oh,
of his
how'd
cheek.
They get that yeah, wound? Yeah. Oh, how'd they get that wound? Yeah, how'd they do that? You know, so anyway, it's just funny. Like,
that's interesting.
On a dime, switch that. But anyway, that was, of course, a long time ago. But anyway, but yeah, so yeah.
And cool. You got like all the actors from the past stuff that were in this were the same actors. Like it fits the universe perfectly.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was great. It was really, really good.
I was just happy that they made a decent Wolverine movie. It felt like they were trying so long.
Well, they ended it right then. That's good. I watched I Don't Belong. I Don't Feel Like I Belong on This Earth Anymore. That's what it's called, I think. Mm. It's on Netflix. Right. Is that Sundance? Frank said I won all these awards. I don't know what I won, but it was honestly like a Coen Brothers movie. It's
funny.
It was funny, yeah. But like, you know, like Burn After Reading, like it was just like just a kind of it was a little story, and it was just like got a little crazy at some points, but overall it was just like a fun little story. It was that. Like, I really, really liked it though. I would check it out. It's on Netflix. Elijah Wood's in it, and he's fucking great. Like, I don't know. I thought it was really good. So. My quick review of that movie.
Cool.
Nice.
That's it. Speaking of quick reviews, I saw a documentary last week. I really liked it, but it's almost a documentary about nothing. And it's called something like The Curse of the Guy Who Sees UFOs, or The Curse of the Guy Who Believes in UFOs.
That's cool.
Have you seen that?
I haven't watched it yet, but it's on my list.
You heard about it?
Yeah.
So it's about a young documentary filmmaker who was contacted by a guy who's like, I have proof of UFOs. And he sent him a bunch of footage. And the guy went through the footage and he's like, this isn't fucking proof of anything. This is just you filming the nighttime sky. Like, okay.
He's looking too hard.
Yeah. And he's like, but you know what? I'll go meet this guy, whatever. And he goes and he meets this guy. And the documentary is kind of just about that. Like, I'm going to meet this guy and hang out with him. And at first you think this guy is really off his rocker and fucking weird. But I found that over the course of the documentary, you spend time with him and he seems like a pretty... cool guy.
Rational.
He's older and he's got white hair, but he is into like metal music and art music, almost like he's into like guar and stuff like that. So you think like, okay, like I don't hate that. But how would a guy like you come to be into UFOs? Are you crazy? Is there something weird? But as his story goes on, it's like, no, it's not crazy. Like, he's had an interesting life. A little bit of it's sad. He's kind of a lonely fellow. But he doesn't seem insane. He seems very sane, in fact. So then they revisit the footage, the UFO evidence. And now after you know this guy, it kind of takes on new meaning. And they even say that in documentary. It's like, when I first saw this footage, I thought it was bullshit. But now after I spent a bunch of time with him, wow, I saw this footage in a new light. And suddenly, it did start to seem strange.
Wow.
It did start to seem unexplainable. And they go through his footage. And by the end of it, I was thinking about this movie 2 days later, just thinking like, there might be fucking UFOs out here. It really raised the... It
got you.
It really kind of just raised the question. It put it there. I was like, you know what?
Is that Netflix?
This is fucking interesting. Yeah.
I love that
stuff. It's called The Curse of the Guy Who Sees UFOs, or The Curse of the Man Who Believes in UFOs, something like that.
Cool. Curse of UFO in the search.
All right. Well, I'm going to end this podcast now.
No. I got one more thing I want to talk about. Yeah. And it's kind of just... Yes. I want to, you know, I just saw the Lord of the Rings movies lately, and I kind of thought I'd go point by point on what I liked.
Extended cut.
Let's start with the first one.
Let's start.
I'm just going to go home.
You got to start with the Cimarillion.
Goodbye.
Hey,
thank you.
I just wanted to say, PAX East, we're going to be at PAX East in Boston this week, March 10th through the 12th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. People every year always ask, are you going to be there the whole time? Why would we not be there the whole time?
Because other companies don't stay the whole time. They send people go in and out. We stay.
Fuck them.
We stay. Go.
So come visit us at PAX East in Boston. We're going to be there. Our panel is at 4:30 on Sunday, March 12th, in the Albatross Theater. It's going to be a great panel. So please make it there and visit our booth. Come say hi to everyone. We'll be happy to see you. And I can't wait. I'm so excited. Thank you, everybody, once again, for being there, for watching. And if you keep watching, we'll keep... Robin, we'll stop bathing.
Good night.
Nice. Beat you to it.